The second thing we're going to be doing tonight, this honestly seems to pale in significance compared to what we just got to hear, is we're going to be actually talking about the practical changes that we are suggesting that we make to our deacon setup. There was in your box today, I don't know if people grabbed them or not, a copy of the changes that we're proposing. If you have it, it'd be great to have it in front of you. If you don't have it, there are some copies on the table out there. I saw quite a few people grab them. It's going to be a rather boring evening because we're just going to go through this. It's going to feel much like a business meeting, and our desire for this is to get the lion's share of the discussion out of the way. This isn't a business meeting, and at the business meeting, when the motion comes to the floor, we're still going to open it up for discussion. But there's enough changes here that we wanted to kind of get it out there and have the discussion now, because there's some other items on the business for the business meeting that night as well that will hopefully shorten this part of the business meeting. So that's our goal. Are we out? Someone may have to go make some more copies. All righty. Thank you, Brian. So that's our goal. That's what we're up to tonight, is we're just going to walk through these changes section by section. The first few sections will take the most discussion. What we're going to do is I'm just going to go through the changes we've made to a section. I'll pause. We'll open it up for discussion. We'll have our interaction, clarifications, any corrections. Do I have a pen? And then we'll go from there. Now, I try desperately to get out of this job. I wasn't going to lead this part of it. One of the things that the elders wanted to make clear is this isn't Pastor Tyler's idea and they're just going along with it. These are things that have been discussed extensively among us. In fact, I owe a huge thank you to Paul Montgomery, who was supposed to be behind this microphone tonight before he decided to go to PEI for some reason. He wrote most of these changes. Out of our discussion, the directions of the elders, he actually sat down and put his fingers to the keyboard and drafted this up. And I don't know if you've ever had that responsibility. It's a lot. It's no fun. And you've got to have a little bit of thick skin, because after you work for all those hours, the rest of us are going to sit there with a red pen and don't like this and don't like that. And so Paul put a ton of labor into this. And if he was here tonight, he'd be the one up here doing the talking, but he's not. Blair was going to give a little introduction this evening, just on behalf of the elders, and he is under the weather this evening, so you're stuck with me. Before we step into this, why have we entered into this? Right, we spent 5 weeks talking about passages that I think are the primary texts with this whole thing around deacons. The first is that for a couple of years now, this wasn't just born in a vacuum at the first of the year. For the couple of years now, the elders have been identifying and trying to take some active steps. We realized that the deacons were not fully empowered, and I don't know the right word to use with it, entrusted, that was the word we came on to as the deacons, to really do their job. We had deacons, the finance committee, the property committee, trustees, and very deacon-like responsibilities, but they hadn't really been entrusted to really function fully in this office. And so we have been making a few minor changes along the way to try and change that, both practically in how we've been functioning as an elders team, and how we've been working with the various committees, and now making what we hope to be kind of the capstone of the changes now with a bit of a structural change, because we really want to see these godly men that deacons are be able to function fully according to their biblical office. The second thing, and I've talked about this before, why we've wrestled with this is we came to the realization that there were some things that were clearly deacon responsibilities that nobody really was keeping an eye on. And so we wanted to expand the scope of the deacon's ministry. It's been less than a year ago, but almost a year now, that the elders finally handed over the benevolent fund checkbook to the finance committee. Well, if anything in Scripture is that responsibility of the deacons, it's that account. And so, right, we've been recognizing this and just making some changes. I've shared a few illustrations, right, of people needing rides to the hospital and different things that always seem to land on the elders' plate that we're happy to do, and very joyful to do, but when I'm faced with the choice of working on one of my three or four lessons for the week or lining up rides to a hospital, it gets to be, well, they both get done, but it just gets to be an expanded workload. And that, once again, that's why deacons came into place. And who are you going to call? Which deacon committee? The finance committee? Well, no. The property? No. Trustees? No. To get a ride lined up to go to the hospital. And so just a recognition that there are some things that could be done that's not aren't currently being done with our current deacon structure. And with that comes the last thing. Some of the changes we're making is to try and make things function simpler. A nice practical reason, just trying to keep things simple and workable. So that's why we've gone on this, and it's why we spent 5 weeks talking about a lead up to what we're going to talk about tonight, trying to get our mind around what does the scripture say. Parts of it are crystal clear, other parts of it are a little bit less clear, and that gives us some room for some latitude in our operations. But this is, once again, this is the recommendations that the elders are suggesting for a vote at our business meeting in 2 weeks on the 28th. That's 2.5 weeks, but sorry, what's that? Oh, anyhow, 28th, yes, it is the 28th, last Wednesday. So, I'm just going to go through these section by section. Hopefully you got a paper in front of you. And I'm only going to point out the real changes that are made to our current procedure manual. And then I'll open it up for some discussion. I'll explain why we made those changes. Then we'll open it up for discussion. And if there's nothing, then we'll move on. And if there's stuff, we'll talk about it. So the first one, and this is the big one, is in section of our procedure manual with reference to section 2, of the Council of Deacons. This used to then talk about the Finance Committee, the Property Committee, and the Trustees. And the big thing that has happened is all three of those committees are changing. Two of them are being dissolved, the Finance Committee and the Property Committee. And the Trustees are going to be set to one side at this time. And the reason we did that was because we're looking into incorporation. And so in a year's time, if we are incorporated, then that committee will just dissolve then. If we explore that option, decide that's not the option for us, and I'm not going to do that homework, the deacons are going to do that homework. If we decide that's not the option for us, then we'll figure out at that point in time what to do with the trustees. So they're going to be a set to the side committee at this time. The change, point A in that, is the Council of Deacons, so that reflects that the Council of Deacons shall consist of a body of scripturally qualified men. So there's a reason we spent an entire evening talking about the biblical qualifications of a deacon. That's what we're looking for. So we're looking, the council of deacons shall consist of a body of scripturally qualified men who will come alongside the elders and who will be entrusted with those responsibilities within the church which are of primarily a practical nature. These will include, but are not limited to, financial concerns, duties involving the property committee, or the church property, and needs requiring benevolence. Once again, I already noted that we're looking for scripturally qualified men. The key wording there is that we're entrusting responsibilities, that the elders are recognizing there's things that don't require their attention, that other godly people in the church can look after them, and so we're going to entrust them with their responsibilities. And so with that, if the deacons make a decision and you don't like it and you come knocking on my door expecting me to veto it, unless there's something unbiblical or wrong about it, that's the deacons to figure out. That's why they're there. They are going to be entrusted with those responsibilities. And once again, looking at primarily of practical nature, when you look at those subpoints A through F, that is lifted right out of the old procedure manual statement. And it's a conglomeration of both the property committee and the finance committee's previous statements. Going down to B, once again, the council of deacons will bring matters of property. The rest of that's the same, only it would have been in the separate committees. Now it's a council of deacons. We're going to have one group of men as our deacons now that will have those responsibilities and then a few more. The big change here is on point C, and this is new. Upon the recommendation of the elders, Each deacon will be affirmed by a vote of the congregation, resulting in at least 80% approval in accordance with a duly held election. He shall serve for a 3-year term as circumstances allow and will not be eligible for readmission to the council when his term expires until after an interval of at least 1 year. So, I'm just going to walk through that. Upon the recommendation of the elders, we are going to be having an opportunity in the not-too-distant future to tell us, like write on a piece of paper and get it back to us, who you think the deacons in our church should be. And the elders are going to take those names into consideration, but at the end of the day, when it comes time to put the deacons' names forward, that list will come from the elders. So upon the recommendation of the elders. But it's going to come back to the congregation, and with each individual that's listed there, it'll either be an affirmation or a denial of the elders' recommendation. And it requires an 80% vote. What are we trying to do here? As we look into Acts 6, as we looked into Acts 15, we saw the spiritual leadership leading and yet not divorced from the congregation who had, in each of those big circumstances, affirmed the leadership of the church. And we're just trying to figure out practically, what does that look like in the church? So the elders are going to sit down with a list of names. You're going to have input to that. And we really do want to hear your input. And we will get together a group of men that we think fit the office. And then at our annual meeting in February, that list of names will be affirmed or denied by you as a congregation. Okay, I flew through that. Questions. This is probably the biggest one. So, questions. Paul?
I noticed that there's no minimum number.
Yep.
You always were discussing that. Can you help us?
Yep. We did talk about that, and you'll notice that there's no target of any kind on a size. And that's done intentionally. And the reason there's not a number given is because we are wanting to carefully guard that, looking for people who are spiritually qualified. And we felt like when you put a number on it, is God, then we're saying, God, you must supply us with X number of deacons, or else. And then you get caught in a spot like we had at the church that we were in Pennsylvania, where our constitution said you got to have 5 deacons. Well, 2 rotated off because their terms were up, 1 resigned, and we only had 1 person willing to go back on. You did the math, and we had 4 and not 5. So that's why we left the numbers out. We've got lots of qualified men, and so if we want to put a minimum of like 3, I'm great with that, but, and I think the elders won't squawk at that, but that's why we didn't have a target that there will be this many deacons. So that's why we did that. So, yeah, it's a great question. It's a great question. Go ahead, Paul. Fire. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's 2 ways to look at a procedure manual. One is you try to include everything possible, and then you have a procedure manual the size of your Bible. Or you try to get the bare minimum in there to function and leave room for some latitude of functionality. And inevitably, sometimes things cross over. I mean, the first person to find out about a benevolent need during the week because somebody walked in off the street is probably me or Pastor Mark, because we're the pastors, we're here, someone comes in, right? And so there's going to be crossover at times in it. So these other areas, honestly, that's why we put there in the statement that these will include but are not limited to. Financial concerns, duties involving the church property, and needs requiring benevolence. So, right, we've got someone who needs a wheelchair ramp put on their house. We've kind of passed that along to the deacons, but we're not going to put that in the procedure manual. So that's why we're trying to leave some latitude there. And those are the kinds of things we're looking to pass off. Yes, Paul? Yes, they won't simply be handling the benevolent checkbook. to be some of the other needs, right? Like, well, something I would love to see, and this won't be right away, but something I would love to see our deacons doing is knowing who all of the widows are and the elderly people are in our church. It's fall. And you know, come end of October, early November, they may need some help winterizing their house. I'd love for the deacons to have that on their radar, not so that they personally go, but just to make sure that somebody who's got time and ability can go and make sure these people's needs are met. So yeah, we are expanding that benevolence out beyond the simple, we cut the check. Yeah, Eugene. Yeah. Yeah. No, I haven't looked into it. That's what I've been told. Recognizing that we're in flux right now is why originally the elders talked about dissolving all three committees and then appointing from the deacons. The deacons would self-appoint trustees from their midst for the legal requiring. We also kicked around, if you're a deacon, you're also a trustee. We kicked around some ideas. Given the fact that we are seriously exploring, or recognizing the need to at least seriously explore incorporation, is why we've kind of set this aside. So our answer is that you don't have to be a deacon to be a trustee. But a deacon could be a trustee. They're just going to be kind of separate, recognizing that in the next year or so, we're going to have to make some decisions about this committee. And if we decide to do nothing in terms of incorporation, then we're going to have another discussion of, okay, then how are we going to set this up long term? But we don't know, and so that's why we just kind of held it out at this point in time. So the trust right now, Brian and Jeff and Michael Gordon are our trustees. Michael's going to, I shouldn't be saying too much there. Michael might be stepping back, but all that to say, so we have a group of trustees, and they're going to continue on, but they're just going to be, at this point in time, the legal signers. So all the risk and none of the authority. That stinks. and we're going to talk about the trustees in the next statement there in just a minute. But the trustees were on the finance committee and the property committee, that's all going away, and the trustees will just be the legal thing for now. Yes, Jeff. That's great. Yes. 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 That's why we have that little phrase in there, as circumstances allow. Under point C, that a deacon shall serve for a 3-year term as circumstances allow and will not be eligible for readmission to the council when his term expires until after an interval of at least 1 year. And that phrase is the same as what we had with the elders, I think, is as circumstances allow, where we're trying to say the norm is you're going to serve 3 years and take a year off. In fact, that's the expectation. But sometimes abnormal circumstances come up. In fact, I gave an illustration from our church in Pennsylvania. Our constitution said you had to have a minimum of 5 deacons. We had 6. 2 of them are rotating off for their mandatory year off. And another one, because of circumstances of life, stepped down. And I was the only name that was willing to stand for the Council of Deacons that year, which put us at 4. It kind of put us in a spot. We talked about it, and what we decided to do was to willfully be in violation of our Constitution for 1 year and function with 4 deacons, and then with the expectation of the next year that we would get this council back up to the size it belongs at. As circumstances allow gives us the wiggle room to do that, but it won't be done without clear communication, right? So if for whatever circumstances we're in the middle of a major situation and we need, you know, X deacon to serve a 4th year, then at the annual meeting it'll be explained why that's necessary and everybody will say, yep, we're great with that, and away we'll go. So, but that'll be for the abnormal circumstances, not for the standard operation. Brian?
Is there a procedure in here in regards to that this is the first year for this new deacon's council? Will there be a staggering
yes
amount of years? Yes.
Yes. The elders have, and other elders, you're welcome to chime in at any time here. I know I'm doing all the talking, but we talked about this, and just so you understand, we're targeting somewhere between 5 and 7 deacons to get this started, is kind of what we've talked about. And once again, that's not set in stone, but that's kind of what we've talked about. And then as those men come in, that first council, and however they want to do it, draw straws, just decide, they're going to have to, like the elders did when we moved to a rotating terms, say, okay, well, so-and-so is on a 1-year, so-and-so is on a 2-year, and so-and-so is on a 3-year, to get the things rolling. From a practical standpoint, once the deacons are together in a room, they're grown men, they can figure out how they want to structure that, but you'll want to break yourself up into thirds and put yourselves on that rotation. Yeah, Ron.
I'm picking on the deacons already before they're elected, but they'll be elected by the congregation. But say it doesn't work out for this fellow or that fellow, any of these people that they're going to be elected. Does it go back to the congregation, or does it,
sure. Well, Ron, there's two reasons why a deacon might need to stop. One, that they're biblically disqualified. And if that's the case, then the elders will be involved, and that'll get taken care of biblically in cases where there's sin. The other reason would be that, and this was the case of the guy that stepped off of our deacon board in Pennsylvania. He was still qualified, but both his parents and her parents were about to die. In fact, in his year off, 4 of them passed away, and then the next year another one passed away. So that's why he stepped down. Another circumstance. If that's the case, then he steps down and we fill his place, and he just communicates that and say, hey, so-and-so's dealing with some family challenges that we all know about, we're all praying about it, and so he needs the time off, and it's not a big deal. So, yep, it'll work. It'll work, I promise. Yeah. Other questions? Going once, going twice. All righty. The Board of Trustees is quite a bit simpler. The statement that is here is currently in the procedure manual. Each trustee shall be elected to a 3-year term and will not be eligible for re-election when their terms expire after an interval of at least 1 year. So nothing's changed there. What has changed is we've removed the statements that one trustee would go on finance and the other two trustees would be on property. We've taken out the statement that they are deacons because they no longer are, which honestly means that any of our ladies would be welcome to serve on our Board of Trustees. And once again, this is just recognized this committee is possibly, not guaranteed, like I said, we've got to explore these things, but possibly going to be going away if we incorporate. And so I'm dancing around the circle on that one because we haven't really explored that. We just are aware of the need to explore it. So, and that's it for the Board of Trustees. Any questions on that? Yes, Brian, or Ron. Sure. Yep, they're the legal signing authorities on our, I think that's in the Constitution. Thank you, Paul. Yes. Yeah, that's in the Constitution stating what they are because they're the legal signers of stuff. That's why we're looking at incorporation because they're liable for the rest of us. Oh. Yeah. Other questions on the trustees? Like I said, the big change here is just it's no longer part of our deacon group. Yeah, Eugene. Yeah, I think so. But the reason, once again, when we first started talking about this, the original idea was that the trustee thing be folded in with the deacon responsibilities. And the reason we're not spending tons of time working on that right now. And if people are more comfortable with this, we can change this. That's the joy of that's why we're having this discussion right now. But is that all of our current, I mean, not just the trustees, but our finance committee and our property committee are all becoming aware that we need to seriously look into what would it look like if we got incorporated. What are the advantages, as well as what are the disadvantages in changing our relationship with the government? And as what I have been told, and like I said, I haven't looked into this, I'm trusting our deacons on it. But what I have been led to believe is if we incorporate, that office of trustee is no longer necessary. So what the elders are suggesting at this point in time is that we set them aside to function as they currently are with the legal stuff as a patch. And I'm pretty sure that one of the first things the deacons are going to be tackling is this whole incorporation thing. Then if we decide to incorporate, we'll know what we need to do with them. And if we decide not to incorporate, then I think we'll have to go back and ask, okay, what are we going to do with this committee now? Who do have a huge responsibility in the church? Do we want to some way bring them into the Council of Deacons or something like that? So really our desire is to kind of leave this alone and figure out where we're going. Long range, I think if we don't incorporate, that perhaps we may want to pull our trustees out of the Council of Deacons, because a lot of the stuff that the trustees would be looking after, I think, would be deacon responsibilities. Once again, you know, Brian and Jeff are both trustees right now, which means they're deacons. They both might end up on the deacon. I don't know. That's not even a discussion the elders have had, but it is conceivable that current deacons or current trustees may end up on the deacons board, and then you would have deacons on also doing a dual role of being a trustee. So, yes, Paul. Not a bad idea. We make a statement in there of the nature that there'll be a liaison of some kind between the trustees and the deacons for this year, right? It is an easy solution to the problem. Dave? Yeah, it is. Very possible. Like I said, that was an option that when I first presented this idea to the elders, not just me, but when we first started talking about this idea, that was the idea, that from the deacons they would select trustees. And so, yeah, then it could be a sub-council, right, of three, right, of the deacons, three of the, you know, eight deacons or whatever are trustees and have that responsibility. We can do that. The elders' reasoning was just that we may be adjusting this again in the year. But if people are more comfortable, am I getting feedback? This is why we're having this discussion tonight. Am I getting feedback that people would prefer to see our trustees as deacons? Okay, I'm getting some heads no, some heads yes. Greg? Yeah, that is quite possible, right? We have two options here from what I'm hearing from people. We can either incorporate them into the Deacons Council, or we can have communication between them, understanding it's a temporary thing, and the Deacons Council. Yes, Bill. Do you know what that is?
The directors.
Which, yeah.
You're still going to have, I think the trustees should be myself, because if you go that way, you're still going to be,
Yep. Other thoughts on this? Brian?
It seems to me as though communication is always a bit of a problem when we go between one group.
And honestly, that is why we are dissolving committees and lumping responsibilities together, because we were recognizing that these committees have got a lot of overlap as it is in communication, and let's just get them all in the same room and figure it all out at once. That's the practicality of it. So I'm getting the sense that we're leaning towards, are people comfortable with that we would then say that the deacons, and I'll have to figure out some wording for this. Well, that I'll wait till Paul gets back from PEI, and then he'll figure out some wording for this for the business meeting to basically say that out of the council of deacons will be selected the trustees. Is anybody vehemently opposed to that? Not vehemently. Is anybody would like to give a perspective on that? Pastor Mark? Not, there's between those committees six right now.
I'm just wondering if there's advantage of people not being on the deacon board.
It's a question. Like I said, the elders have kicked this all around, so that's why we kind of set this to the side. So I'm going to need some, I'm very comfortable with them being pulled out of the deacons, like I said. That was a discussion we had for quite a while at the elder level. So I'm really, elders, unless I'm out to lunch here, I'm really looking for some, what you guys are thinking we ought to do here, because to me it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. Because after incorporation, we're going to have to do either, you're going to have to do something with this group whether or not you incorporate eventually. And so that's why the elders said, recognize the fact that in a year's time we're likely changing this again. Let's just set it here as a bubblegum patch on a leaky pipe for the next year, and honestly, we'll probably be having a discussion at our next annual meeting as to what it is that we're going to be doing with this group. Or we can try and make an adjustment right now that would be hopefully what the long-term option is. And I'm honestly really not passionately leaning one way or the other. So, Brian? Yep.
As well as the deacons.
Yep.
And so whether they are part of that deacon's council is moot point one way or the other, because they're going to have to be involved in all those discussions.
Yep.
In regards to, I know several times on the finance committee there have been questions that we've had to ask our liaison from the trustees in regards to which way we can go, and he has to come get back to us because he can't give us an answer because there's other trustees involved. It makes it very beneficial to have everybody in one room.
I agree. Yeah, Jeff.
Just to reiterate that point, some decisions that the deacons might make have legal implications.
Yep. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm hearing. Does anybody have an objection to that?
What did Greg say?
That he's hearing and I'm hearing that people would like to generally make sure our trustees are a part of or underneath of the Council of Deacons. So guessing what this would look like is we select our deacons, however many that be, and then from that group, they select three men that would act as the trustees. Is that what I'm hearing? Carol?
Would it not also be wise to do that? Because as trustee, if you incorporate, or even as trustees, they really need to be spiritually minded and pick that through the qualification.
Yep. Yeah, and there's a reason why our trustees have been deacons in the past, is because we recognize that what they're dealing with is very much within the deacon realm. And so that the elders setting that to the side and making them so they're no longer deacons wasn't a desire to change that as much as just trying to figure out how do we bridge from where we are to there. There's going to be a few bugs to get worked out here, right? The three committees coming into one, there's going to be some added responsibilities. And so we may be in obviously we're not incorporating without coming back and talking about it, both pros and cons as a church family, and once again that's going to come down to ultimately what we decide to do together as a church family. So okay, then I will we'll make these changes, if that's what everybody's comfortable with. And elders, you guys are, I'm not speaking out of turn here, you're okay with this? Making these adjustments, and then that'll be what will be presented at the business meeting, that the trustees will be chosen out of the council of deacons. Everybody comfortable with that? This is why we're having this discussion now. It's 5 to 7, and we're not even halfway through the paper. So, okay. Should pick up the pace, though, a little bit as we go here. Oh, yes, Elizabeth. Well, they're going to have to change their approach to doing ministry. This is something we've talked about extensively. Right now, if you're on the property committee, not only are you a deacon, but you pretty well do the work of taking care of it. That may have to change. That may have to change, that they get a group of individuals who may or may never be deacons together who, right, and say, you know, so-and-so's retired, they got the time, they've got the capacity. Every 6 months, I don't know how often, I'm just shooting my mouth off here, but every 6 months, the filters in this place have got to get changed. That's a couple-hour job. So-and-so, are you willing to take care of that? Sure. And the deacons just make sure it gets done. They don't have to necessarily be in here. The deacons may be, and once again, this is the deacons to figure out, but they may be wise to put an ad hoc committee together to talk about incorporation. It's a big project, so let's get a couple of deacons on there with a couple of people from the congregation that have some knowledge and this ability who don't have to be deacons, and let's explore this and figure out what it works. So honestly, yeah, in joining this, there'll be some things that are simpler, but the deacons are going to need to change a little bit at times, not always, but at times, how to make it all work. I'm not going to tell them how to do that. They're grown men, and they can figure that out as they go. And with that, the other thing that we've talked about, you know, I keep talking about there's some other things we'd like to see them do. Well, in 2017, we're going to make the changes, and they're pretty well just going to look after property, finance, and trustee stuff. We're not adding any of that new stuff next year. Let them get the bugs worked out on how this is going to work going forward. And then we'll introduce a few things over time. So we're not looking to get 5 men in a room and back a dump truck load of files out and dump it on them and say, figure this out in the next 6 months, please. So there's going to be some transition here. Good? Okay. Treasurer and assistant treasurer. The treasurer will be responsible for preparing and presenting the church's financial records to the Council of Deacons. The change there is that they are presenting it to the Council of Deacons, not the Finance Committee. The treasurer shall receive from the stewards. That hasn't changed. But once again, though, the source of accountability is the Council of Deacons, not the Finance Committee. Point C has not changed. The major change here has come with the assistant treasurer. The assistant treasurer has been a deacon, has been a liaison back and forth there, and by nature being a deacon was required to be male. The assistant treasurer will be elected annually, he/she, because since they're not a deacon, a lady can fill that role just fine by the qualifications. Will serve as a helper to the treasurer in fulfillment of the duties listed above. The changes here are, once again, we're just taking both the treasurer and the assistant treasurer and removing them from the Council of Deacons, and their role will largely be acting kind of like a financial computer. They take the information in, they distill it, they organize it, they put it in spreadsheet form, and put that information out to the Council of Deacons who make direction, who make the financial decisions, and then they give their directions back to the treasurer as to what they're wanting done, and the treasurer just simply acts upon that. The deacons have already made some adjustments to the relationship with the treasurer this last year on this, and so the real difference here is that the assistant treasurer is an assistant to the treasurer. Basically, if Gertie had something catastrophic happen and all of a sudden couldn't take care of the books anymore. The assistant treasurer would be the acting interim individual. But these two financial people are no longer attached in any way to the decision-making process. They're just the ones who take the information in and give it to the people that are making the decisions. Questions? Brian?
There's no time. How this person gets appointed or elected? Does the appointing or on it in regards to this, as well as there's no time frame in regards to how long they're there?
Our practice has been, Brian, and I'm not sure if this is written down somewhere. I don't have my full procedure manual in front of me. The practice has been, just as the assistant treasurer is elected annually, the treasurer has been elected annually. So I don't know if that's written down somewhere. If it's not, that is our practice. If that's not, I'll make sure, if people are okay with this, that that's inserted in the statement. Just like we said, the assistant treasurer will be elected annually, the treasurer will be elected annually. And we'll be responsible for preparing, presenting, and because if that's yes, Paul. Yes, and the nominating committee is the one that puts this together. So that is who puts forward. And really, like I said, when you have a bookkeeper that's capable and willing, it's just, are you willing to continue doing this? Yes. And so it's a pretty simple process every year. But But it has been an annually elected. So I will see if it's in our current procedure manual, and if it is, then we don't need to deal with it. If it's not, we'll get it inserted. Yes, Hilda.
Is it?
Yes, that is what we talked about on the night that we talked about qualifications, that we do feel like that this is an office of spiritual leadership in the church. It's different than, distinct from the Council of Elders, but that what we are comfortable with is a male deacon set up at this point in time. So I explained that in pretty detail that night, and if you got questions on it, the recording's online, or we can talk later. But that is where the leadership team is comfortable at this point in time. Yes, Jeff. That's it. They're to assist the treasurer. Bill, you're the assistant treasurer. Apart from being a deacon on the finance committee, what's your assistant treasurer responsibilities? Something what? Yeah. So if Gertie's out of town, he signs the checks instead of Gertie.
Yeah, that's basically
what I do. Yeah. So they're just there as a second person who does have access to the files, who does have the ability to write checks, some of those types of things, in case something happens to the treasurer. So. Sorry, what's that, Carolyn? Yeah. And that's really right, that they will, everything that the treasurer does, that they assist in as the catch-all. All right, they'll serve as a helper to the treasurer in fulfillment of the duties listed above. Point D under treasurer and assistant treasurer. That last sentence, he, she will serve as a helper to the treasurer in fulfillment of the duties listed above. So that is a list of their duties. Yes, Beth. Yeah. Yeah, I know that. Well, if Gertie's gone, we're in trouble. But that is what an assistant treasurer is for. I'm not. So, yeah. Bill or Dave? Gets done. He has to do it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but that puts it pretty clearly. Yeah. So no, that is really what would happen. I mean, I don't think any of us expect Bill to you know, be fully skilled in QuickBooks and those things, but it is just kind of a recognition. If something happened to Gertie, we've got a stopgap until we figure it out. So, Bill? Cross that bridge when we get to it. Yep. Yep. Other comments on this section? Okay. Stewardship committee. The only change, I'm not going to read all this, but the only change here is that the stewardship committee will now be accountable to the council of deacons. Big surprise, right? So that's who they'll be answering to at this point in time. Questions on that? Okay. Moving. Oops, sorry. Yes, Dave. Yes. Yes, I know. It says at least six members. So we are in compliance. We are, and that's actually going to come up here in the election of officers and the election of committee members. It says, the procedure manual says, committee members should be elected by a majority vote after nomination at an annual meeting of the church. This really hasn't changed. The first named on the nominating committee report is responsible to call the first meeting. That hasn't changed. Basically, how committees are formed. What has changed on this fact, I'm not going to read B and C. They haven't changed. But what has changed on this election of committee members is D. It says all committee members will, unless otherwise stated, so that gives us some wiggle room, and as circumstances allow, once again giving us some wiggle room, serve a 3-year term and will not be eligible for re-election when their term expires until after an interval of at least 1 year. What we're doing here, the elders have gone on a rotating basis, 3 years. We're suggesting the deacons go on a rotating basis of 3 years, and then they take a year off. This used to state that if your term would be equal to the number of people on that committee. So, like, I'm going to use our missions committee as an example. There's been 4 people on it, so they were functioning on a 4-year term. Used to be our finance committee had 2 people on it, so they were functioning on a 2-year term. What we're trying to do is basically, if you go on a committee, unless we state otherwise, like in this case, the stewards are on a 4-year rotation, our target goal is all of our committees be functioning on this 3-year basis and just kind of make it a standard across the board. That's kind of what we're going at here. Now, like in the case of the missions committee, they would like to expand their committee out. And so we're looking at growing that committee to 6 in the coming year. But then you'd have 2 people serving in each of your 3-year terms, then, so that you can, they have a larger committee, but then it's functioning on the same rotation as the rest of the church. If we had a people on a missions committee, 6 people on a missions committee, the way our procedure manual used to read, then when you agreed to go on, you were now on for a 6-year term. And that's a long time. And so that's what that change is designed to do. Right now, we recognize there's some committees that aren't in compliance with that. We get that. We're going there. That's kind of where we're at with it. But we're not. That's that change. So, make sense? Questions on it? That's probably the better question. Is there any questions on it? Yes, Ron. No. No, this is going to be addressing the committees that are put forward by the nominating committee at our annual meeting every year. That's what this is speaking to. It's pulled out of that section of our procedure manual. It's kind of hard sometimes when you just pull stuff out of the procedure manual to understand the context around it. Yeah, this is reference to the work that the nominating committee does every year, not those other 2 offices of elder or deacon. Okay, last one. I was surprised. People read it ahead of time. The elders were sitting there talking about, okay, we got the deacons on an 80% approval, congregational affirmed denial thing. The elders are still the ones putting the names forward. This doesn't look very much different than what we've been doing with the elders. And so we decided that rather than just, right, what we did this last time was, and we gave people opportunity to say, hey, we're looking at putting these two people in on the elders team. If you have a reason why they shouldn't, let us know. And that worked. If you would have said something, we would have taken that into serious consideration. Nobody said anything, so it wasn't a big deal. But just to be consistent across the board, it'll be the same thing. The elders will sit down and consider if there's somebody we'd like to bring on the elders board. We are going to spend some pretty serious time with them. But if the elders are comfortable with that, then just like with the deacons at our annual business meeting, you'll have an opportunity to either affirm or deny that because we're really... Someone can be gifted. I mean, someone can be gifted as an elder, up one side and down the other. But if you don't want them to shepherd you, there's no point in putting them in that office because all the gifting in the world won't make them effective at that point in time. So, once again, we're just trying to, as we look at the scriptures, the leadership clearly leads, and so that's why the names are coming from us. But we're also looking at that and saying that the congregation in those passages, Acts 6, Acts 15. Had their opportunity to say, yeah, that's a good idea. So that's what that changes. It's that it basically says the same thing. A non-staff elder will be a man appointed to serve a 3-year term as long as he remains qualified and is willing to serve. Upon the recommendation of the extant elders, each potential elder will be affirmed by vote of the congregation, resulting in at least 80% approval in accordance with a duly held election. Following the completion of his term, unless circumstances dictate, he is to take a year off. Prior to returning as an active elder, if deemed timely, he will meet with the active members of the Council of Elders to discuss his return. So that's what we voted in last year, but it's the change of you'll have the opportunity to affirm or deny the recommendation of the elders at that point in time. Questions on that? Yes, Jeff. Somebody with better grammar than me wrote that sentence, Jeff. Yeah. Okay, I'm about to close things down here. Any other last questions? It doesn't have to be on this one, the whole thing. Burning questions before we're finished? Okay. All right. Well, once again, we'll have to open this discussion up again for the business meeting, but I hope and trust that this largely answered your questions. Like I said, the next step upon approval of this will be, the last thing I was going to tell you is our goal then, if this, and trusting that this is approved at our business meeting on the 28th, will be that these things will take effect at our annual meeting in February, so that's when we'll have the deacons' names out for approval and when the other committees will stop to exist and the deacons' council will function together. Last call for questions? Okay, well, to close off our service tonight, Samuel's going to come, and for our benediction, we're going to stand and sing together the doxology.
Yeah, so if you guys could stand up. I think y'all probably know this one.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.